Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Jump right back into my series. I want to thank Pastor Willard for bringing the word last week. I was called away, most of you know, to the Philippines. It was a huge honor. It was one of those situations where you ever had a time where God puts you in a room that others would say you don't belong in. I love when he does that. Amen. And here I was at this funeral of one of our great friends, Bishop Methuselah, who preached here just a few months ago. And there was over 200 bishops and pastors from all over the Philippines. And God put a word in my spirit for them at this time of transition for their movement and different things. And we had a great time. Pastor Tina and Pastor Willard stayed behind to hold it down. And then we came back and hit the ground running. But I want to jump right back into our series. We've been in a series this month called Summer Barbecue. And what is on the menu is sacred cows. And we've talked about this, meaning that a few years ago, myself and Eddie Escobar and Jesse Delgado, we were in India. And in India, we witnessed children starving on the streets, begging on the streets, and needing food. All the while, there are these cows that the government has deemed sacred walking around. They're everywhere. I mean, it's like, wow, anybody can just take one cow and feed all these kids in the streets. But the government will not allow it because they are deemed sacred, because they believe in reincarnation. They believe that once you die, you could come back as a cow. I don't know why they would want to do that. Amen. I don't know. That's a punishment or what, but they believe that there. They believe that don't eat these cows because these are our dead relatives, or this could be your uncle, or this could be your aunt, and whatever. And so rather than have a life that God has created for them to have an abundance of and be filled with, they're starving. And it really made me think about people in the body of Christ, people in the church that have resigned themselves to believing things that I'm going to call sacred cows that are keeping you, because you're believing the wrong thing, you are living a life that is below what God wants you to live. And so the first week we talked about the sacred cow that all dogs go to heaven, D-A-W-G, which we know is a slang for all people go to heaven. And there's a doctrine out there that was started by the Dalai Lama, I believe the Dalai Lama 14, because there's a bunch of Dalai Lamas, they just take on the name. And it was the 14th Dalai Lama that said that all roads lead to God. And what he was saying was, it doesn't matter if you're Buddhist, if you're Mormon, if you're Muslim, if you're Tao, if you're this religion, if you're witchcraft, if you're Satanist, whatever you call religion or your road is, we're all going to get to the same God. And that sounds really nice. That sounds really fair, but it's not true. Come on, somebody. Amen. Do you know what else sounds nice? That there's a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. That sounds really, doesn't that sound really nice? Come on, Lucky Charms, amen. That sounds cool. That if it's, I got bills to get paid, I just need to stick around in March when it's rainy and sunny and go dig me up a rainbow and I could get it. See, it sounds nice, but it's not true. The same way that everybody, all roads lead to heaven, it's not true. Here's another lie that Satan wants you to know, wants you to think and believe, that if you're just a good person, there's no way God will refuse you at the pearly gates. If you just have more good works than you do bad, then God is going to be like, man, I got you. Just go on in there. Just go. See, you're trying to treat God like he's your friend, amen? Like he's your buddy that watches the gate at the state fair. Come on, somebody, amen? And I got you. Get in there, you know. You ain't got money, no problem. But it don't work like that in heaven. Jesus put it out really clear when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes through the Father except through me. Amen. He cannot lie. And so we talked about, you got to quit believing that everybody's going to make it to heaven. Now, some of you would say, well, I don't believe that, Pastor, but you live like you do. See, if you really believe that you got the answer and the pathway to heaven, why are you not sharing that with your brother and sister who are on their way to hell? Why are you not sharing that with the guy you live next door to that's trying to make a living, taking care of his family? You're going to heaven, he's not. And the bottom line many times is this, we're still eating off of that belief that if people are just good, they're going to make it in, and they're not. So God has put the awesome responsibility of up to us to share the gospel. That's why we did this whole kids camp this week. And man, they preached. I wish you guys could have saw the last night when Robbie was up here leading the prayer. These kids were crying in the presence of God as he was praying for them, as some of the team members were coming. We got some of it on video. It was amazing. At a kids camp, they were experiencing the presence of God. And we put a lot of money into that thing. Why? Because we got to do whatever it takes to share people the true way to God. It is not through good works. Come on, we talked about this. Tupac was wrong, right? He was wrong. There ain't no Thug Mansion. Amen? There's not Thug Mansion. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through obedience to Jesus Christ. And we talked about that. And if you missed that, go on the podcast. You can hear that. Today, I want to take a few minutes to just cut up this sacred cow called It Must Be God's Will. Okay? It must be God's will. I get so tired of hearing God blamed for our failures and for why things don't happen in our life. I get tired of hearing God blamed when things don't go our way. Let me give you an example. I've talked about this before. As a pastor, I've sat across from people that would just say, well, Pastor, I've been trying to get a job, but it must not be God's will. I say, why? Because nobody's hired me. And if we could all go behind the scenes, what we might see is somebody going to a job interview and not wearing proper clothing. How many know there's right clothes you wear to a job interview? How many know there's clothes you fix your car in and there's clothes you go to a job interview in? Oh, somebody better write this down. Y'all don't know that? There's some clothes you go to a ball game in and there's some clothes you go to a job interview in. I'm gonna help somebody get a job today. Because some of y'all didn't know that, okay? And so what you find many times, somebody goes to a job interview, they don't brush their teeth, they don't comb their hair, they showing up in a tall tee from 1998. Come on, somebody. Something they picked up at the liquor store and a pair of Lokes. And they going in to the job interview, chomping on gum. With a, you know. All right, when we get the job, the questions start coming. Hey, sir, what was your job before this? Man, I didn't get no job before this. This is my first time. And, you know, and they're asking you questions, and it's like, yeah, mm-hmm, sure. When they should be saying, yes, sir, no, sir. Come on, somebody, amen. And they walk out of that thing, and I ask them, did you get the job? And they say, no, must not be God's will. And I say, no. You should have brushed your teeth. In some cases, I say, no, you should have brushed your tooth. You should have combed your hair. You should have put some smell good on, threw on a tie, left the Lokes at home, and maybe you would have got the job. Are you seeing what I'm talking about here? But because they just started going to church, they want to sound spiritual, and they want to be like, well, I didn't get it. It must not be God's will. Ooh, that gets me. Or then you find people that just have this belief system that says, well, if God wants me to have it, he knows where I live. If God really wants to bless me, he'll just give it to me. I don't have to do nothing. Because if it's God's will, you ever hear people talk like this? If it's God's will, you can't stop it. I beg to differ. We got a lot of people stopping God's will. And some of us are sitting in this room right now. Just look straight ahead. Nobody will know I'm talking to you, all right? But this is the sacred cow I want to go after, because this sacred cow, this wrong belief, makes people feel powerless. It makes people feel like, well, this is just my lot in life. You know, my grandma got a divorce. My mom got three divorces. And I guess this is just me next. I'm next. This is the lot in life. This just must be God's will. No, you don't know how to pick a woman. No, you have not yet learned how to be a man to keep a woman. Let's quit blaming God. Tell your neighbor, quit blaming God. Tell him. So this is a sacred cow, and I deal with this all the time in life. As a pastor, I hear these things. I hear things from people when they get diagnosed with a disease, and I've heard people give testimony and say, you know, I was living life, but then God gave me cancer to teach me a lesson of humility. I've heard people say stuff like this. Yeah, you know, I was going on the wrong path, but then, you know, God gave me cirrhosis of the liver to teach me a lesson. Well, it gets worse. I've been to funerals. I was at a funeral recently for a 12-year-old. And the preacher got up and said, folks, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You going to tell this 12-year-old's parents that God took his kid? And then he tried to sound more spiritual. Well, you know, we all know that he was such a good boy, and I just guess the Lord needed another rose in his garden in heaven. Can you imagine somebody telling you that after burying your 12-year-old? I would have been like, well, God needed to pick another rose. Leave my family alone. But we hear these things all over in funerals and all this, and it's sacred cows that we must barbecue. Amen? We must get that wrong thinking out of our theology, get that wrong thinking out of our relationship with God, and let's have some carne asada this morning. Are you ready? Amen? Are you ready? Ask your neighbor if they're ready. And if they ain't ready, I'm going to give you their portion. Amen? All right. Let me take you here to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Look at the screen real quick. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It tells me this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, listen, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Sickness is darkness. God ain't going to give you something he don't got. Amen? Darkness is not in him. He's light. He's not going to give you cancer to teach you a lesson. Not doing it. Because he doesn't have sickness in him. He's light. He's not going to take bad things and put them on you to teach you a lesson. Let's quit saying that. Let's get that out of our thinking. Because we're blaming God, here it is, for what the devil's doing. We're blaming God for what, here's even better, ready for this one? Hang on to your chairs. We're blaming God for what you did. Well, I guess God just thought I needed, you know, teach me a lesson, so now I have all this sickness in my body. No, read the book of Proverbs. Did you know the reason you're having problems in your nervous system is because you're bitter? Unforgiveness dries the bones. God gave me this. No, he did it because he's light. In him is no darkness. Let's start looking at who is responsible. And it comes down to three people. Number one, we already know the devil. That's the easy one. Number two is you and I. You and I. Do you know that our decisions affect our kids? They affect our kids. They affect how you raise your kids. I've had to do funerals for teenagers that were shot in gang violence and in situations where they were at a park late at night and got into something and now they're not here anymore. Now, I would never blame somebody for that. But man, what would happen if we would have reached these folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe they wouldn't have been at that park. Maybe they wouldn't have been at that place if mom and dad would have said yes to Jesus years prior. If we would have raised our kids in church instead of going to church once a month and then talking bad about the preacher and criticizing everybody in the church, maybe our kids would have fell in love with the church too. And because they had no love for the church, they run to the world, and then the world hurts them. And then we look at God and we say, why did you let this happen? And I believe with tears in his eyes, God's saying, this is what I've been trying to keep from happening. But you won't submit to my ways. You won't submit to my word. Are you tracking with me? And then we blame God and we get mad at God and we say, God, you did this to me. But see, God is light and in him is no darkness. So let's take that off the table. Amen. Let's stop blaming God when bad things happen. Listen, we live in, the third thing is this, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is plagued with darkness. Everywhere you go is darkness. Can I just tell you, you are gonna encounter darkness. It's just not from God. We live in a world that is toxic. There's toxic things we hear. There's toxic things we see. There's toxic things we eat. Come on, somebody. This is for all the hypochondriacs in there that like to be careful of this thing and that thing. Listen, pretty much everything can kill you. Drinking out the hose in South Sacramento could kill you. I'm serious. You're afraid of gluten? There's so many more things. So many more things. Okay? So many more things that we eat every day. We already know McDonald's will kill you, right? We don't stop going. We don't stop going. God is greater than this. Amen. God is greater. My point is this. Everything, there's darkness in everything. We're going to encounter it. There are times you may get sick. God didn't do that. The fallen world gets on us every now and again. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. It happens. We live in a toxic world, and there are times we're going to have some mental problems even because of what you watch and what you see. Listen, the tests are already coming in. They already can tell you social media causes depression. That's not a Christian study. That's a study. Don't raise your hand, but if you are dealing with depression, you probably need to get off social media. Got about 8 amens, and the rest of us are like, Give me a pill instead. That's easier. Medicate me instead. That'll help me. Because we don't want to do what we can do to fix problems. And then we want to blame God. God, why am I depressed? God, why am I dealing with this? I've told you before, much depression can be fixed by cleaning your house. Studies have shown that. Studies have shown, and the Bible backs it up, because order creates peace. Chaos, which is what maybe your room is in right now, creates stress, disorder, right? But see, we'd rather just look up and shake our fist at God and go, you're doing this to me. And then even, I hear testimonies of people that will say, God made me sick. God caused me to be born with this disease. Listen, he's light. In him is no darkness. Amen? Let's stop blaming him for things the devil has done, our fallen world has done, and then the third thing is our own decisions have done. I had someone tell me, you know, God put me in a bad marriage just to humble me. No, fool, you don't know how to pick them. She was toxic. Talk about red flags. She was a red flag. All she her dresses were all red. Come on. I just feel like God had me, you know, do this. No, it's your fault. Because he's light and him is no darkness. Let me give you another one here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This is also something that helps us barbecue this God's will thing because some people believe, and they say this all the time, well, if it's God's will, you can't stop it. Yes, you can. You can. Let me prove it to you right here. 2 Peter 3, 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us. Praise God for that. He doesn't give up on us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what this means? It's the will of God that everybody on the planet get saved.
That's right. Amen.
That is God's will. But we all know all dogs ain't going to heaven, are they? They're not. We know right now there are people dying without Jesus Christ. Right now. There are countries or nations right here in South Sacramento. There's people ODing and people that have not been serving God, have not been after God, and they're dying and they're not going to heaven. But can I tell you this? That's not God's will. But yet, it's happening. What I'm trying to get you guys to see is this. We've got to get rid of this belief that if God wants me to have it, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. That is just not the case. And I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Tell your neighbor, take some notes. Tell him. Tell him with a little attitude because they don't listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to you. Tell him. Take some notes right now. I try to tell them. They don't listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to you. Take out your phone, whatever it is, and write this down. To establish God's word in the earth, you must come into agreement with it. This belief that I'm good, God's will is just going to happen, it's a sacred cow, let's barbecue that. That's not true. In order to have God's will in your life, you must come into agreement with it. And I'm going to prove it to you in the scriptures. You got to come into agreement with it. So if you don't come into agreement with it and you're just living sloppily, hopefully everything God wants you're just going to have, it's not going to happen, baby. And then you're going to be one of these people that's all mad, all bitter, shaking your fist at God. Why did you let this happen to me? And God is saying, fool, I've been, he might not say fool, that's me. He's saying, I've been trying to keep this from happening to you, but you keep choosing it. You keep choosing it. We see this with the Israelites, right? We see all throughout the Bible, when you read the Old Testament, the Israelites, God keeps telling them, hey, if you follow me, this is what you'll get. Deuteronomy 28, everybody knows that scripture, you should. It's all the blessings that come to you if you follow God. You'll be the head and not the tail. Come on, somebody. You'll be above and not beneath. You'll be blessed in your coming and blessed when you're going. Oh, God just lines it up and we like to shout. But see, there's a condition. If you follow me. Because right after that, he goes, and if you choose not to follow me, he says, these are the curses. Barrenness and all this other stuff that he, you know, your struggle with your work and all these things. And at the end, he basically lays it down and he says, you could get with this, or you could get with this. You guys know it, come on. And at the end, he prays and says, but if I was you, I would choose this. And do you know what the Israelites still do? Choose other gods. Read it all throughout 1 and 2 Kings. The story goes like this. And a new king was raised up, and he followed the ways of God. And because he followed God, the kingdom was blessed. But after he died, another king came into power, and he chose not to follow God. And that's when famine came, and death came, and they went into bondage, and Israel became slaves. And this is just a side note. You want to know what usually pulled these kings away from serving God? Marrying the wrong woman. I'm just going to let that marinate right there. These guys was all good, following God, and then it was like, hey, they meet an Egyptian princess or something, and they fall in love, and they forget all about church. She's got them over here bowing down to concrete statues and worshiping the sun god, all because she was fine. I need some single guys to pay attention to this message right now. But I also need some single women, because I've seen it with the women too. I see some single women in church crying during worship, serving at every event, and then they find a man, and he ain't godly. Now they don't even come to church because they got a man. Hey. You coming to serve? No, I can't make it. I'm with my man this weekend. He getting my nails done. He pay my bills. But pretty soon you'll be saying, he cheats on me. He only hits me when he's real mad. It's the same story all throughout the Bible. What pulls people away many times is falling in love with the wrong person and the wrong thing. But my point is this. God says, here's my will. Here's what I want for you guys. Blessing, 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 blessing. But if you don't, here's what's waiting. The choice is yours. This is my will, but the choice is yours. But we still got Christians. Well, you know, I'm not even worried about it because God's in control. Really? Have you looked around South Sacramento lately? God's in control of this? We gonna blame God for this? We rolled up to the park yesterday. And there was a candle set up right in the parking lot of where we've been doing our summer basketball league. Somebody was killed there. Are we going to blame God for that? Or are we going to read our Bible and see what the Bible says? The Bible says that Satan is the prince of power, a prince in the power of the air. He's the one messing all this up. And if we choose to follow him, that mess becomes our mess. But if we choose to follow God, what is God's becomes ours. Are you guys tracking with me here? Are you guys seeing this? But see, we don't believe right. Because some of you think you're just going to have a good marriage because you come to church. No. See, here's the problem with most Christians. Most of us in this room right now. Now. You like that? I got South Sac on you right now. The problem with us is we want God's blessing, but we don't want to do things God's way. So you want a godly man, but your Instagram shows you're trying to get a godly man the world's way. You want to marry a godly woman, but you don't want to be godly. You want a godly marriage, but you don't want to submit to anybody. You don't want to ask for help. You don't want to tithe. You don't want to give. You don't want to be in church. But we just think we're going to have the blessings of God. You're deceived. Because we need to do things God's way. Can I get an amen on that? But the choice is yours. Real quick, in about 5 minutes, let me clear up what the confusion is about God's will. Because there's four specific categories of God's will in the Bible. And because we don't read the Bible, we put it all together. And this is where it gets muddied. So you guys ready? I'm going to help you today. All right, you guys ready? Tell your neighbor he's going to help you today. Tell him this is for you, not me. This is for you. You know you're lying too, but I'm just trying to make you feel good. You know. These are categories for God's will. Number one, write this down. The predestined will of God. The predestined will of God. Let me give you some theology today. The predestined will of God. What is that? Well, that is in the Bible. We see there are things that God is going to do that nobody can stop. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. The president of the United States isn't going to be able to stop it. The devil is sure not going to be able to stop it. It's going to happen because why? Because God is sovereign. What does that mean? God can do what he wants to do. Amen? Yeah. So this is called the predestined will of God. This is where people get all mixed up. They think it's all like this, but it's not. There are only certain things in the scriptures that are categorized in the predestined will of God. Something like Matthew chapter 24, 11 through 14. What this scripture here is, Jesus is talking about the end times, which I believe we're in. And he says this, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Can't stop that. It's happening. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. It's happening. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. You or I cannot stop that. It's been set in motion. It's been spoken by God. He predestines that. He is sovereign. He chooses that that's going to happen. Our decision is, do we want to be a part of it? And I say yes. But I can't stop it. And if I say no, God will get somebody else to help him take this gospel around the world. But we can't stop it. Can I just tell you something? That is not all of God's will. Those are specific things that are categorized as the predestined will of God. Because the second category of God's will is called his moral will. Okay? His moral will. And this is what God's will is for you. In other words, God wills that you act like this. Okay? And we know that to be the Ten Commandments. God really didn't give that to the church. He gave it to the Israelites. And he's saying, hey, it is my will that y'all obey these Ten Commandments. And did they? You don't have to answer this one, but do you? You don't have to. I said don't answer. I said don't answer. Dang. Now everybody moving away from you over there. Like, oh, geez, this guy's a thief. We don't though, right? If we're completely honest, we mess that up. But hey, it's God's will that you do that. You see my point? You can still choose not to do that. And then Jesus came and he gave us the scripture. He gave us a new commandment. And we made that our vision around here, Matthew 22, 37 and 40. Jesus says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Another translation says, on these two things, you can fulfill all the law and all the commandments. Basically, Jesus says this, hey, don't even worry about the Ten Commandments. Just do this. That's God's will. Do we do it? Because some of y'all offended in here. Some of y'all mad at somebody else because they looked at you weird. Really? Somebody got mad because they were trying to serve at VBS and somebody said something to them wrong, or I walked by them, I didn't say, and you mad and you offended. But it's not God's will that you act that way. But do you still? You see my point. You see my point. Even though God's will is evident and clear, you still have a part to play in it. If you obey, now you're in line with God's will. If you continually give yourself a pass that we call grace, you're going to get the consequences that God doesn't want you to have. I've had people tell me, blame God for why they're having problems in their marriage. No, because you won't do what the Bible says to do. Are you tracking with me today? So the Bible says, hey, he's your boyfriend. That means he's not your husband. Don't sleep with him. The will of God is that you act right and obey his word. And don't sleep with anybody that's not your husband. Didn't Beyonce tell you, if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it? You ain't even listening to the Queen Bee now, right? But then we get in a mess and we start looking for the will of God. Guys, we've got to understand that there is a part you play. All right, let me get back to the category. So the first category, the predestined will of God. That's what everybody gets confused into thinking it's all just going to happen. No. Second is his moral will. And that demonstrates to us that you have a choice. You can fulfill and follow God's moral will, or you can choose not to. The third is his desired will, which is very similar. The word of God shows you what God wishes for you. And we find that in Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 20:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." We're going to read that again, and we're going to say this again together, and I want you to say your name where it says you. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward..." All right? "Says the Lord." What is the thoughts? Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is the will of God for you. It's good things, right? It don't say nothing about divorce. It don't say nothing about four different baby mamas, because that's a lot of drama. You already know that. No judgment, but that you're gonna find yourself in drama. It doesn't say anything in there about drug addiction. It doesn't say anything about getting sliced up at a club. Does it say that in there? Doesn't say anything about catching cancer or nothing like that. The will of God for you is that you have peace, that you live in peace, not of evil, and that you have a future and a hope. But he also says there, when he thinks about you, he doesn't think evil thoughts. He's not thinking, "I got to punish you because you just don't listen. I got to punish you because you're hard-headed." No, that's what your dad used to tell you, okay? That is not God. That's what your mom used to say. But God does not think that way. So his will for your life, his desired will, this is it. But so many of us are experiencing things outside his will. Are you seeing this today? Yeah. And it's not his fault. Come on, let's man up. Let's woman up. It's our fault. Because we don't want to listen sometimes. We want to do things our way. We'd rather listen to our favorite rapper or our favorite R&B singer and pursue relationships like they say to do it rather than to do it the way God says to do it. We'd rather follow the culture and follow the dollar than follow God when we have problems. See, these are all to show you that if you're going to be in the will of God, there's things you got to do. All right, so this is the last area here is his circumstantial will, okay? And what is this? This is how God wants me to respond in different situations. Because there are circumstances that are going to rise up, okay, that are not God's will. I love the testimony that Brandon shared today. It illustrates my point exactly. The circumstance was that sickness came upon his body. That was not God's will for his life. But we live in a fallen world. Things happen. Sickness is all around us. But when it came, his father had a decision to make on his behalf. Am I going to accept this? Or are there scriptures that I can come into agreement with that could bring the will of God into my son's life? And so that man got up and drew a bloodline across and said, "Sickness will not rise above this." What was he doing? He was responding the way the Bible tells him to respond. I wish I could get a church full of folks that would be like that. Instead of falling to pieces when the doctor gives you a diagnosis. Because now, are you going to come into God's circumstantial will? Or are you just going to freak out? The doctor says, "You may have skin cancer." "Oh my God, I'm going to die. How much time do I have?" Doctor looks at you like, "Man, we can operate on that. You good? Are you sure, doctor?" You see what I'm saying? We fall to pieces. Instead of going, "Wait a minute, what does God's word tell me about my circumstance?" Because when I read the Bible, there are scripture after scripture, story after story that tell me I do not have to accept sickness and disease. I don't have to accept it. I don't have to accept cancer. I don't have to accept anything that may come on me. I could stand in faith, come into agreement with the word, act upon the word, and pull God's word into my circumstance. His circumstantial will is how you respond. How do you respond when you lose your job? What are we going to do? Oh my gosh. Or do you go, okay, God, what does your word say about this? Your word says that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And in the words of Kendrick Lamar, I'm going to be all right. Come on, amen? You're going to be all right. See, this is the will of God. But let me leave you with this as I let you go, because I want you to get some popcorn and learn how to play some cornhole out here, amen? It's big in the South, right? Cornhole's big in the South. So look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Here's where I'm trying to get you as we barbecue this wrong thinking. It says, do not be conformed to this world, church, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like what it says here in the Passion Translation. Ooh, get it. You got to catch this right here. It says, hey, stop imitating the ideas, opinions of the culture around you. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Listen to this part. Put that scripture up if you can, guys. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Look what it says there. This will empower you to discern God's will. Listen, the last thing I want to drop on you today is this. God's will cannot be figured out. It's discerned. It's discovered. See, people that are trying to figure it out are usually trying to figure it out with an unrenewed mind. And that's why you keep making bad decisions. An unrenewed mind thinks they're the center of their universe. And so nothing is ever done sacrificially. An unrenewed mind looks at the world and it goes, this makes sense. This must be God's will. And we miss it. An unrenewed mind says, what am I called to do? Well, this career pays six figures. God must want that for my life. This must be the will of God, to go to university, to get a job, have good money so that I can bless people. That makes sense. Didn't the Bible just say that His thoughts are of me, are of good and of future, and da, da, da? An unrenewed mind, see, is the center of that universe. So it picks those things. But a renewed mind understands that even though it makes sense, it may not be what God wants for me. I'll give you an example. Most of you know Cruz Ramirez, preaches here all the time as a pastor over at Abundant Church in El Paso, Texas. Before he became a pastor, he was working at a firm in business where he was making six figures a year. And as he began to pursue God and renew his mind, the Lord began to speak to him to be a pastor. So he left his six-figure income at this firm to become a pastor, catch this now, where he wasn't even making half of that. His wife now was bearing most of the load financially for the family. But if you've met Pastor Cruz, that's a man of God right there. If you've met Pastor Cruz, he's affecting the world. He's affecting people's lives. But see, the will of God is discerned, not figured out in your unrenewed mind. That's why some of you only been serving God a year or two. You're trying to piece it all together. Give yourself some time. Let's change the way you think first. Because you're always going to pick what looks best. And isn't that what got Eve in the problem that we're all in now? The Bible says she looked at the fruit. It looked good for food. So what looked good, she chose instead of God's will, which was don't eat that fruit. The problem that we got in the church and why we believe bad things is because nobody wants to learn the Bible. Everybody wants to come to church and not take notes. Check on your neighbor. Make sure they're taking notes. Shame them right now. Give them a dirty look, too, if they didn't write nothing down. Just do it, because they ain't listening to me. Maybe they'll listen to y'all. Nah, don't shame them. You know, I'm just playing right there. But listen, it's the truth, guys. You really want to find the will of God? Let's change the way you think first. Let's get you stop living for yourself. Because it may be the thing you've been saying is God's will, really ain't. It just looks good. You know, I could be making way more money doing something else instead of pastoring. So many of you could be doing other things with your time and your life, but you've discerned the will of God that said, I need to be at Elevate Life. I need to serve. I need to give. I need to be here. Because when you discern the will of God, you realize it's all about Him, not you. Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.